St. George of Rochester by Henry W. Nevinson. Before the week was well out, I got took on for a job as packer in the city, and every morning I was up almost as soon as light and riding along the road in a workman's car, same as if I kept a private gig. So I put in 2 hours' work till breakfast, and mostly got home again to tea by 6 or off past, having an hour off in the middle for my dinner at a cook shop. One evening we'd all done our teas and was feeling very comfortable, what with father having got a good job too for fitting some chapel or warehouse or something of that down in Bow, and as a keeping going pretty steady through winter in all weathers, the brickwork being finished off. And I was thinking to myself whether I'd get some fellas to come round with me and be chipping young Duffy, or pluck up art to go and pass the time of evening to Lena Sullivan, she being one of them as likes you best when you're happy. But on a sudden there comes a knocking at the door, and ill Susan Moore sticks her head in a kind of voice like saying poetry at school. "If you please, father's gone and had another stroke and wants to see Mr. Britton very particular." "That's a bad job," says me father. "At any rate, I reckon it's about all over with old Timo. He'll snuff it sure as I'm alive." "All right, my dear, I'll come along this minute. Just set yourself down and take a cup of tea." Old Timo had fell on his back in lading a lighter the spring afore, and been queer all down one side ever since. For all he's been able to move about and carry things, but not to manage his lighter no more. So father tells me to come along. He always liked me to see all the sights as might be, and old Timo being famous as the strongest man in our parts, or perhaps on the water anywheres, let alone his having won the Doggett coat and badge the very same day as he was 21. And there's some say he could have beaten old Higgins himself, as is called the ex-champion sculler of England, only that their ages wasn't arranged right for him to make a match of it, through Higgins being older. And father says it's often the same way with getting married, seeing as there'd be a rare lot of different marriages if only the parties had started more level when they was first born. Timo had a house all to himself and family in Pennington Street, close along by the dock, he being always in good work up to the time of his accident, through being able to do as much as any two. So we knocked, and Mrs. Moore came to the door, and seeing us, she started crying and carrying on most terrible. Stout and red she was, having a lot of children, for all not being old yet. So my father pushes past her, telling her as perhaps things would be better soon. "And they couldn't be worse," she says, "'cause if they was, we'd anyhow have his club money to draw and live on." Getting upstairs, we find old Timo lying on his bed quite still, with a decent brown blanket over him and a candle burning, and the doctor had took and stuck a Bible or something of that under his head to prop it up, and one of his arms was laying out over the blanket, bare from the shoulder, and oh my soul, it was just like the front leg of a cart horse, barring the extra finish about the hand. But his grey eyes seemed kind of bigger than usual, and his nose and tuft of beard more peaky. His whole face somehow pale, for all it's been dark brown as a bit of seasoned wood, a deal darker than what his hair was, that being yellowish and burnt near white at the roots by the sun. "What, Timo?" says my father, quite cheerful. "What, George?" he answers, and says no more. He'd been always slow of speech. But that evening he'd been turning over what he had to say so as to run straight on when once started, only not knowing where to start. "Gone aground again?" says my father. "Not me," he says. "I ain't wanting to go aground. But it's like as when a barge gets run into by a steamer through no fault of hern. Yes, you may hoist the green flag over me now, same as over a wreck in the tideway." "Don't you be saying that, Timo," says me father, and cops hold on his hand, and makes as if he was only feeling at his pulse going. "Well, cheer up, mate," says Timo. "That's neither here nor there. What I wants is to give you a kind of a message to take, if so be I peg out this time. You see, it's all along of my Doggett badge as I won 30 years gone, me being now turned to 50. With that, he looks at the badge, as was hanging up opposite over the fireplace and shining in the candlelight, the silver horse on it showing quite plain. "I suppose my missus ain't anywheres near," he whispers.